Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. My, I tell you, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And you know, this morning, we are here together, and we're going to give you one of the shortest messages that you've ever heard. 1 minute. But I'm going to fill in the gaps. Okay? But the message, 1 minute. Now, the reason why I got to forewarn you. Earthquakes. Do you remember any big earthquakes? Yeah, man. Boy, Haiti, Chile, over Japan, tsunamis. You know how long an earthquake takes? It takes a 6.0 on the megascale takes about 20 seconds. Can you imagine that? The earthquakes, the experience, the greatest earthquakes that's ever been on the earth, it's been between 10 to 30 seconds. So what we're going to do, we're going to give you a 1 minute warning. 1 minute warning, it'll be 15 seconds per clip. And so I'm just kind of telling you in advance so that you kind of capture the flavor of this. 1 minute. Where are the two most famous earthquakes recorded in history? You know where they took place? Guess. Somebody guess real quick. San Francisco? Tokyo? Pompeii? Anyone else? Interesting. The two world's most famous earthquakes. The aftershock is still happening today. And you say that's impossible, but it's not. In fact, what we're going to do, we're going to study the two most famous earthquakes. And the reason why, because we oftentimes just over... Now, what is an earthquake? What is an earthquake? I mean, got to kind of get this in mind. An earthquake, a trembling or shaking of the ground caused by sudden release of energy stored in the rocks below the surface, radiating from a fault along which movement has taken place. It's kind of like this wire right here. If I get a hold of this wire just right, you know what it could do? It could light my matches. Anyhow, okay? But you know, inside of there's stored energy in there. And so what we're looking at, an earthquake... Where's the best place? If an earthquake happens, where's the best place? Where? Outside. Because an earthquake doesn't kill anybody. It's the falling debris after. It's inside the building. So therefore, if you're ever in an earthquake, don't try to make it to the stairs. You'll never make it. Don't try to make it to the elevator. Definitely not. You know, a sudden stop. Don't go to the elevator. Get underneath a table or some kind of firm structure. Because it's going to be over with between 10, 20, maybe even 30 seconds, and it's over with. But the aftershock. Well, and trying to capture, and when I take you to these two earthquakes, and you begin to experience in them, I want you to know they're for real. And sometimes we don't feel it. In other words, if while I'm preaching this morning, the lights start shaking and the door starts knocking, in your heart, you need to be ready for Jesus. Okay? So if you're not ready for Jesus, friends, now is a good time. Y'all come right on in on the front row. We got plenty of space down here. God bless you, and thank you for being a part of the message. Okay, how do you prepare now? I want to move you now to get set for this. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah, in the book of Zechariah, this is where the children of Israel had gone into captivity because of their sin. Now they were moving back, ready to build the temple there in Jerusalem. Zechariah didn't pick up a stick and try to drive people back to Jerusalem to work on the temple. He told them some encouraging words. I'm going to tell you about an earthquake. You're going to hear it. Zechariah chapter 14. I'm going to phase this down real quick. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in the midst. Are you get this now? Behold, when he says behold, that means, folks, you better listen up to this one. The day of the Lord is coming, for I will gather all the nations to a battle cry against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses riffled, the women ravished. Half of the city will go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Let me capture this. Jesus Christ, He's coming back again. Jesus Christ, He's coming back in power. Jesus Christ, He's going to be standing in battle array. He's going to be ready for the powers of darkness. He is going to be ready now. Jesus is going to put down all the enemies. Listen to this. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as He fights in the day of battle. And in that day, His feet will stand on Mount Olives. Can you see this? You know where Mount Olives is? Jerusalem. Go out the eastern gate of Jerusalem. Go up the side on this mountaintop that you're looking across Jerusalem. You've seen it. It was in the garden where Jesus prayed on the Mount of Olives. Now visualize it. This large mountain overlooking the city of Jerusalem. He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half the mountain shall move toward the north, half shall move toward the south. Then you shall flee from my mountain valley. From the mountain valley shall reach Azel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Earthquake. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. There's a day coming. Jerusalem's going to be set. It's going to be the scene. The Lord Jesus is coming back. An earthquake's going to occur. The ground is going to split open. Living water is going to flow out of that. Are you ready for that earthquake? That's kind of foreign to us. To seeing the Lord coming down, and all of a sudden this opening up is split, and all the powers in heaven and earth. And in fact, when He comes, there's not going to be any light in the sun, because Jesus is the light of the world. You're not going to need the water. Jesus is the living water. And He's the one who's going, and no man knows this day, no man knows this hour. And when time comes, time's not going to be anymore. It's going to be over with. There is an earthquake coming. Now the question is, that earthquake hasn't gotten here yet. All right? There's two earthquakes. Larry. Seconds. It's all over with. What led up to the first earthquake, the most famous earthquake that the world's ever known? What led up to it? Jesus Christ was on the cross, nails in His hand, blood coming down His back, crown of thorns on His head, stripped naked in front of all the world. There on the cross, He got ready for the earthquake. The world's most famous earthquake. Leading up to this earthquake, though, there were some principles that He wanted us to hear. So from the cross, before this earthquake occurred, from the cross, there were seven things right here that Jesus says you need to do. You need to be prepared for the earthquake that's coming. And so the first thing He said to them leading up to the earthquake was, forgiveness is finalized. Think about that. Luke 23, verse 34. Then Jesus said, on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided, and they cast His garments. Father, forgive them. You understand that when you get ready for the earthquake that's about to cover, you've got to understand forgiveness. Jesus Christ taught us that. The guys that put Him on the cross, the guys that nailed Him, the chief priest, all of these guys didn't capture. But when Jesus said, forgive your enemies, He showed us something right here. Forgiveness finalized. Faith leads. While He was there, He gave us another principle. Luke 23:43, and Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today you will be with me in paradise. Faith. Faith leads. What did it lead to? There was a man up there who had been a thief, known thief, was getting the proper judgment upon him, and he said, Lord, remember me when you go into your place. Jesus said, today, are you ready? Faith finalizes. Faith leads. Faith leads to salvation. But you also understand when Jesus was there on the cross, He told us something else about family values. Family values are important. If you're going to be ready for the earthquake that's coming, family values are extremely important. Jesus looked across the crowd and He saw John, the disciple that He loved, and He said to him in John 19:26, woman, behold your son. He looked over there, John, blood coming down his face, spit in his beard. The blood, no doubt, had coagulated. No doubt it was stringy. No doubt it was scabbed. No doubt when he looked over there and he saw John, he said, behold your mother. You see, family values are important. And that's what He's teaching us right here, that Jesus honored His mother. The fourth commandment Jesus kept from the cross in order to get ready for the earthquake. Family values are important because forsaken stings. Forsaken, there Jesus, the light goes out. Darkness covers the sky. And He cries out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Scripture says, He that knew no sin was made sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God. Whoa! Christ's sin, Jesus' cross, darkness covered, the sting of sin. Jesus bore our sins and our sorrows. Finished task, John 19:28. Jesus completed His mission. The Scripture says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, He said, I thirst. I thirst. All things. Don't you love it when people kind of get the knife and kind of twist it a little bit? My wife sometimes tells me. She says, no, you do your work first, and then you play. Y'all ever heard that before? Yeah, do your work first, and then you play. Get your work done, then I give you something to drink. I'll feed you lunch. But you get your work done. She doesn't do me like that often. Okay, but you get your work done. That's what Jesus did. He got the work done. And then He said, I thirst. Boy, Heidi, you think about that. I thirst. Here He is, Jesus Christ, the living water. In fact, Jesus goes on to say, you who are thirsty, come unto me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you water. I'll give you living water. Boy, when He said, I'm thirsty, He had me. Joe, He had me. I'm thirsty. It's done. It's completed. I got the job done. It's out of the way. In fact, in Revelation 21:6, He said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him to thirst. Anybody thirsty this morning? Yeah. Man, bring me a bottle of water. No, don't. I mean, Jim will do it. Thirsty. Are you thirsty? If you are thirsty this morning, you can go to the fountain of life and drink. There on the cross, Jesus finished the work. He tells us to finish our task when we're here on this earth, but then He finished the work. The Bible says in John 19:30, and when Jesus received up the sour wine, He said, it is finished. And bowing His head, He gave up the ghost. In other words, tetelestai, it's complete, it's finished. How much work do you need to do to pay for your sins? Think about it. What do you need to do? It's kind of like this. Let's just say I built this beautiful gun cabinet over here. All right? Proper stuff. I better say somebody else built it, not me. Okay. All right, anyhow, some good carpenter in here. You built this beautiful gun cabinet. And all of a sudden now you said, okay, I'm going to give this cabinet right here to Scott. Scott says, okay, all right, I'll take it. And Scott, more they brought it home. I mean, it's 12 guns inside of that. Beautiful. The wood, the grain, it's perfect. And now all of a sudden he brings it home and Scott says, here, let me get my sandpaper out. Oh, no, Scott. It's completed. It's finished. It's perfect. Well, let me bring a little paint to it. No, Scott. It's finished. It's complete. You see, it's perfect. It's complete. That's what Jesus Christ did with your sins. He paid for them. You don't have to bring out sandpaper. You don't have to bring out the touch-up paint. You don't have to bring out the hammer, the glue. It's perfect. See, you're here this morning right now because Jesus Christ paid for your sins. Wow. Think about it. It's a finished work. And then he said, lastly on the cross, getting ready for the earthquake, he said, John, in Luke 23:46, when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Father. Whew. Here we go. Jesus had lived this life now for 33 years apart from his Father, but now he's saying, Father, coming home, I commend my spirit to you. Father's love. Wow! Here it is before us. So seven principles now of learning to live. Now I'm going to give anybody an A+ if you can name them all. Okay, go ahead and yawn, Michelle. But when you get through yawning, I want you to... What do we need to do? What do we need to do? All right, can y'all help me out here? If we're going to get ready for the earthquake that's coming, you don't know what that earthquake is. Two biggest earthquakes ever happened in the world, and you don't know what they are? Well, getting ready. Forgive. Faith. Share it. Family vow, do it. Forsaken, confess it. Finish task, complete it. Finish work, brings glory to God, paid in full. And a Father's love is the ultimate glory. Trust it. Trust it. Earthquake just occurred and you're living here now. Most famous earthquake that ever occurred when Jesus Christ was on the cross. That's it. There in Jerusalem, he was on the cross, and what happened? Remember what an earthquake is? An earthquake is power that is released, that had been stored up in the rocks and all, and the energy. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, when he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, immediately the ground began to shake. Power was released. The death of Christ was reality. And the centurion, the Roman soldier, said, I saw it. You see, when you begin to see how real this is to us, nobody can deny it. I was there. I felt it. I saw it. The rocks rumbled. They ripped apart. Power was released here. And the scripture says in Matthew 27:54 that they feared greatly. This centurion said, yes, this is the Son of God. I know it now. I've seen it. I've heard it. I felt it. Power's released. It's released. It comes forth because of confession. He confessed, Jesus truly is the Son of God. But when that power occurred, here's what else happened. The sun was darkened. And then in Luke 23:45, then behold, Behold. Behold, look, don't miss it. You felt it, but don't miss this. The Scripture says, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. In the earthquake, in the world's most famous earthquake, now the veil's rent. Access to God is there for you. It occurred in this, and the ground underneath began to shake. Power was released. The Scripture says rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And then, coming out of the graves after His resurrection, they went boldly into the city. Think about it. Power. Power like you've never seen before. Oh, you say, I saw the power there out in San Francisco when those huge highways started going up and down. I saw the power in Haiti when all these structures now were just like dust. I saw it down in Chile. Yes, I saw it. But that's nothing compared to the power that was released when Jesus gave up His life and His Spirit to God. Power, energy stored in the world, in the Creator, and now all of a sudden fear comes over the Roman soldiers. Confession takes place. Darkened sun, temple, the veil ripped, the earth shake, it splits, graves open, dead, and the witness comes forth. Larry. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8. The second most famous earthquake that ever occurred. It occurred in the same city 3 days later. There Jesus Christ had been in the tomb. His body laid out, washed, covered, wrapped. But on the third day, the Scripture says, Matthew 28, verse 1, now after the Sabbath day, the first day of the week began, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And there, and in verse 2 it says, and behold, there's that word behold again, I got to stop. Joy, we're learning this in the morning in our Bible study, aren't we? You got to look. When the Bible speaks out, when the Bible says, behold, stop, look at this, behold, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and He sat on it. And His countenance, His face was like lightning, and His clothing white as snow. The seekers came. Mary Magdalene looking for Jesus. The guards experienced the power that had been released. Fear gripped them. Fear does an amazing thing. Fear sets you up for fight or flight. Fear can be used for you or fear can be used against you. But the fear in this case right here, when this earthquake again, it made these guys speak truth. But it did not change their character. They spoke truth to the chief priest saying, Jesus Christ, nobody took Him. He rose up. But it did not change their character in that after that they received money and they went off lying about what happened to the body of Jesus. Fear, though, for the women who were there changed their character, and they went running to the disciples and saying, He's alive and you are going to see Him. So you've got the seekers. You've got the guards. You got the messengers, and the messenger here in verse 5, it said, but the angel said to the women, take courage. Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Come and see the place where they lay Him, and go quickly and tell the disciples that He is risen from the dead, and indeed He is going before you into Galilee. Then you will see Him. Behold, I have told you. What can fear do? This morning, if you think about 1 minute of your time, just 1 minute, if you think about the length of time that can happen in your life for an earthquake to occur that destroyed much of the Port-au-Prince in Haiti. And the deer, if you think about it, just for 15 seconds, now all of a sudden this angel is saying to us and to you the same thing. Take courage, don't be afraid. That's what we need to do in our world today, folks. We need to have courage. Do not allow fear to drive you down, but allow it to lift you up. Take courage in Jesus Christ. I know who you're looking for, and I've got good news for you. Not only do we take courage, but let's take the message. He's not here. He's risen. He's risen. Take the message. Also, take the invitation. Many of you are going to have an opportunity to respond to Jesus this morning. Some of you are going to be given the opportunity to respond as a messenger. Some of you are going to be given the opportunity to respond to the message. But in all cases, an angel came when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, a messenger from heaven. And today, the Word of God is a messenger for each of us today. Either carry the message or receive the message, but for us, there's an invitation. Come and see where the Lord, where He laid. And then go quickly and tell His disciple, take the mission. Go quickly in this power. Let me recap the disciples right here. Because that 1 minute message is almost up. Power is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, like this world hasn't comprehended. This power is going to be released, and it's released from heaven. This power, what is it going to do? Power produces fear. The fear that made the elders and religious leaders understand and know that what the guards said was true. But it did not change their character. Power validated the soldiers' report. Power continues. Power continues today. It happens. It happens fast. It happens without warning. And it happens producing results. God does not release power that does not produce results. Power is going to come upon you. We know that power because that power is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He will give you energy. He will give you a message. He will give you courage. He will give you life. The power. You have the power. It's going to be released. And this resurrection power, it's going to change lives. Change lives. The aftershock. Let's go ahead, Larry. And I draw to you three absolutes this morning. Absolute number one, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Absolute, Jesus said these words in John 11:25, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection of life. Absolute number two, Jesus was declared by the Son of God with power according to the resurrection. Romans 1:4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ is Lord. Verified with eyewitnesses of two earthquakes. Jesus makes known the power of His resurrection, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, that I may know Him. Okay. Do you know Him? All right, now, do y'all remember what the first earthquake was? Where's the first earthquake? Not the greatest earthquake, but where was the first earthquake that we talked about? Remember? Mount Olives, the earthquake that's coming, okay, when Jesus returns. What's the most famous earthquake? Crucifixion. Jesus was on the cross. And what's the earthquake that we're still feeling those tremors now? Resurrection. And we're still feeling that power today. And all of those things are getting us ready for the next earthquake. When Jesus Christ comes, stands on the Mount of Olives, and separates. Are you ready? Michael, as we get ready, are you ready? Are you ready? How do you get ready? You're in one of two camps this morning. Camp number one is you are the messenger. Go and tell in the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, you are the recipient of the message. In one of two camps, Jesus Christ is Lord. When He rose from the grave, He rose Lord. Victory over death. Now, are you prepared for the next earthquake? Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your heart? If He's not, this morning, because you see, in 15 seconds, it's all over with. 15 seconds, you could enter into the kingdom of God. 15 seconds. Give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. I'm going to ask you to do something courageous. Get out from where you are and come and stand with me. Secondly, if you're the messenger, I'm going to ask you to pray right now. Lord, who do you want me to deliver this message today to? Somebody needs to hear the power of the resurrection. Somebody's hurting and they need to know the power. Somebody's struggling and they need to know the power. Somebody's fighting with an addiction and they need to know the power. Somebody's fighting with pornography and they need to know the power. Somebody's fighting with drugs. It's overcoming them. Somebody's fighting with a sexual thing that's just killing them. They need to know the power. Jesus. Power released. The earthquake. Tremors. Carry the message. Who do you need to carry the message to? So if the message is for you this morning, prayer altars are going to be open. Maybe some of you, the power of God has now set you free this morning. Or you want to be free. And you believe that the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead would raise you and take the burden off of you. You believe that. Prayer altars are open. Get ready. For in 15 seconds, you're going to have to make a decision. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the clock is ticking. 13 seconds now. 10 seconds. 5 seconds. Now, Lord. Father, for those who've made decisions right now, let them move out. As the angel commanded the women to go and tell, encourage and empower with great joy, let them move out in great joy. Lord, it's your hour, it's your day. The clock stopped ticking. Now, God, let us take action. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. What action do you need to take this morning? I encourage you to step out now.
Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. anointed, and you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted, and you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again.
Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ
is risen,
risen
from the dead.
Jesus Christ
is risen
from the dead.
Jesus Christ is risen
from the dead.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Happy Easter. Go tell somebody. You're dismissed.